A couple more minutes here on the Paula Gordon Show with Doris Kearns Goodwin. Bill Russell is eager to continue that business about the media, but I want to put another piece in there, and you could talk about media with this. I found myself putting a box around Abraham Lincoln valuing the union so profoundly because of his commitment to democracy and people ruling themselves, and Frances with an ES, Mrs. Seward, being so committed to emancipation. And it is Lincoln and all these people together who are able to say both and.
Exactly,
yes,
so.
Yes, and to find a way to move us forward on all of those fronts. The media is a part of that. Did you have that ongoing sense of these, of we're going to make it?
Oh, I don't know. You know, it's interesting. When you do live by the side of these people, it was worrisome at times whether or not the thing was going to work out. You have to, you know, Barbara Tuchman once said, you have to imagine to yourself you don't even know how a war ended if you're a narrative historian, so you can carry your reader with you every step along the way. So the only way to really do this book right was to have your own sense of worry of, will it split apart? Will the South really remain seceded? Will emancipation not be really worried, would not be working out in the South? And until the very end, and the great thing I think that was hard for me in a sense was that at the very end, you know, when Lincoln goes to Richmond, you know the war has been won, you know the emancipation will probably take place since the constitutional amendment has already passed, but you know, and he doesn't know, that he's going to die and not be able to absorb that happiness.
So, die soon.
Die very soon.
We all die. Die soon.
But die soon. Sooner than he should have. Absolutely. I mean, I think the South would have been so much better off had he lived. I mean, there's no question about that. Who knows what it would have been like. Reconstruction was difficult. But I'd rather have him, even with a diminished reputation, having been in charge of it, and not being the icon by dying at that moment, because I think our country today would be a different place.
A better place.
A better place.
And it never does end. I mean, that's part of the challenge with our sense of these events. You know, the Civil War over, next subject. Well, of course, we're still struggling.
Absolutely.
The same things. I grew up, my generation thinks, I think mostly would say that Martin Luther King is the symbolic figure that people in the world, when they look to America for hope. But, I tend to forget about Lincoln, but of course, King without Lincoln is a different creature, but Lincoln's impact as you don't exactly end this, but you punctuate it, put a comma that leads into where we are today. There's a striking story there that you tell.
You start the book with Leo Tolstoy saying that Napoleon, Washington, and somebody are as but the moon to the sun who is Lincoln. Yeah, and you come back to Tolstoy.
Well, I was so amazed to find an article that he gave to an interviewer in 1908 where he talked about going to the Caucasus several years prior to that to
the
an area
Caucasus
where
in Russia,
in the middle of nowhere, where there are rude barbarians, wild riders. And they knew he was the great storyteller, so they asked him to tell stories about the great men of the West, Alexander and Frederick the Great, Napoleon. But when he finished, they said, but you haven't told us about that one we want to hear about the most, that man who spoke with a voice of thunder, who laughed like the sunrise. Tell us of Abraham Lincoln. He lives in that place that's called America, that's so far away that if we as young men were to go there, we'd be an old man when we got there. And Tolstoy was stunned that these rude barbarians had heard about the legends and deeds of Lincoln. And it was such a wonderful way to bring the book to an end, because here's this man who dreams of having his name somehow extend beyond where he was. And how could he have ever imagined that in the middle of the Caucasus it would be there? And then Tolstoy concluded, he said, why is it that he was greater than Napoleon or greater than Frederick the Great? Not a great statesman like the latter, not a great general like the former. But on the other hand, he was a humanitarian as broad as the world, and his greatness was in his character. And I think that's where I came down in the end, to where I start in a certain sense, with the idea that it's living with this man that was such a great treasure for me, and hoping that the reader will feel that same sense of being in the presence of someone who was not only great, but good.
And in fact, belongs to the ages.
And in fact, as Stanton said, now he belongs to the ages, indeed.
The government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Well said, indeed. We couldn't say it better than that, that's for sure.
Amen. We thank you, Doris Kearns.
Oh, what a great pleasure. Absolutely. I could have done this for hours more.
Well, come back.
I'd love to.
Doris Kearns Goodwin's team of rivals ends way too soon. Our admiration and appreciation for Ms. Goodwin and her work continues to grow. We thank her for joining us again. How does one say thank you to Abraham Lincoln? By looking squarely at the nation he saved. Would Honest Abe be proud of the U.S. today? Was he right to believe that we, the people, are wise enough to govern ourselves? The answers depend on our character and on our actions. I'm Paula Gordon. I wish you well.